breathe air. We haven't seen air. We haven't seen air. But we accept it. Similarly, why there is a problem to accept God? God is existing. This is a proof. The whole universe is a proof. We are the proof. So, like there are so many, they may ask, you know, is there scientists who believe in God? There are scientists who are believing God. We have one scientist in our ISKCON also. His name is T.B. Singh, like Swarup Damodar Maharaj. He himself is an initiated disciple of Srila Prabhupada, who is a double PhD, is a very special scientist. He accepts the existence of God. There is also one more scientist. His name is G.B. Puttam. He himself has written a book, Evidence of God in an Expanding Universe. He himself accepts God. So, similarly, scholars also, the scientists also accept God. And it is very logical to accept God. Because the point comes is that what is the center of the origin, or what is the purpose of this complicated universe? What is the purpose of this complicated universe? The answer to this question is only in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita. It's only in the Bhagavatam and the Bhagavad Gita, which is narrated by God Himself. And the purpose of this universe is also given there. It says the purpose of the universe is that the soul, which has the desire to enjoy other than God, so it has been sent to this material world. And the facilities given in this material world for the soul is to come back to God. This is the reason. Only the Bhagavatam gives the answer to this reason. Only the Bhagavatam. No scientist can give this answer. That's why Srila Prabhupada used to say that like the scientists, they cannot prove the reason, like what is the purpose of the universe. That's why Srila Prabhupada used to say, until you cannot prove the purpose of the universe, you accept Bhagavatam, that Krishna has created the universe. He is the God. And question here is like, can we see God? Yes, of course we can see God, but we need a qualification to see God. Similarly, as we want to meet the president of the country, we need some qualification, that we cannot go directly to meet the president of the country. We have to approach someone, go through someone, meet our assistant or someone. Similarly, to see God or to meet Him, we need some qualification. And the only process by which we can see God is devotion, not by knowledge, jnana or science. Not by science, because we are very limited and the God is unlimited. With our 50 grams brain, this 50 grams brain, and with the four defects which we have, which is imperfect senses, get illusion, to commit mistake and cheating propensity. With these four defects, we cannot, and with a 50 grams brain, we cannot understand unlimited God. So we can understand and we can see God only by devotion. Only by the serving nature. This is the only way. And so the only way of reaching God is devotion. And actually we are very fortunate being the followers of Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Purana, and Hindu culture. We are very, very, very fortunate enough, because people ask, can we see God? Yes, of course we can show God. We ISKCON people, Srila Prabhupada used to say, we can show God. Of course we can show God, because the deities in our temple, they are Lord Himself. Because of this defects, we cannot see the Lord. So Lord has come in the form of Archer Vigra, in the form of deities, to accept service from us. To accept service from us, so that we can become qualified to go and associate with Him personally. We are very fortunate enough to have this opportunity. And and that's what I that's that is the way actually I can see the existence now. Yes. Any questions? I would like to answer the questions. Yes.
Hare Krishna. So you told that God can, you can show God, but and you told that God is also controller. So many times we see many times this uncontrolled things are there in the world.
Mm.
It's not like all the things are controlled.
Mm.
That's why we have to set up a government for many activities to control.
Mm.
Like set up a dam, then get the energy and different things. We are controlling the things. So majority of our life, whatever things we are getting, that is, we can see directly that people, lakhs of people, millions of people, they are controlling the things. And other things which are very, very, in greater amount, they are uncontrolled, like earthquake and all these things, mm. many things are there.
Mm.
So these uncontrolled things is also created by God.
Yes,
understand?
Yes.
But how is controlling the things? There's already uncontrolled.
What?
All these uncontrolled things, how can... Nobody is controlling those things. Even man
earthquake,
cannot...
What do you mean? You mean that earthquake and this all things are not uncontrolled?
Yeah, earthquake...
Why they are uncontrolled?
Those are uncontrolled things.
Yeah, you are asking why they are uncontrolled?
Yeah, if it is controlled by God, so why it is not controlled by God?
Okay. The reason behind is when the Lord created this universe, He had made some rules and regulations for the human being, for the human society. So, these are actually laws of nature. We say it as laws of nature. And as when the person breaks the laws of nature, he has to pay for that. And this earthquakes and rain, heavy rain, floods are the cause of those sinful activities which the human society is doing. Otherwise, if you go in the past, if you go back in the past, it is said in the, it is written in the scriptures that there was no much like so much problems we have right now, the nature problem. There was not in the early days. Like it used to rain in the night only, so that the crops could grow. And there are many similar examples. But this is because it is said it is Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, it is going to happen. It's in the scripture.
Many uncontrolled things. Even there are many deities were there. Of Lord Himself, you told about Archivira, Lord Himself is there.
Mm-hmm.
That were also stolen or that were also broken into pieces. So,
mm-hmm.
Lord cannot control Himself in that way or who can understand it? And that is why my faith gets devoured, like destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
How this Lord is Himself cannot protect Himself, so how can protect whole universe and how He can control, like, can be called as God? And we cannot see that's all, the one thing.
See, try to understand, like, the deities which, it depends, like, this is the deities which you are telling, which like it breaks up and something. For that, I don't have, like, I don't know the answer exactly. Someone may answer. But what you are telling this Archivigra from the Lord says that I reveal to the devotee in this form according to his worship. You understand? According to his worship. So this is what I mean. In our deities, you can see how the Lord is, how his form is. That is what I mean actually. How he looks. You can see, because he reveals according to our service. And this you can see all in all his temples. That is what I mean through that sentence. Yes.
You said that we are imperfect and
by serving him we can come to know that God is exist.
Yes.
But our senses are imperfect. We are we are limited and God is unlimited.
Hmm.
So how can we come to know that God exists by serving him?
Hmm.
But our senses are limited,
mm-hmm.
and God is limited.
Yes.
How is it possible?
God is limited? Our
God is unlimited, and we are limited.
Hmm.
So by serving with limited senses, how can we understand the God?
Because God Himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to approach Him through a spiritual master, in perfect senses, but serving through a spiritual master. Understand?
What happens by serving the spiritual master?
Because Lord Himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, "Evam parampara praptam imam raja sevido." The spiritual master is, he has seen the truth, so he can impart the knowledge to us. Because he is in the parampara. And if you go on through the parampara, you will see that he is connected to the God indirectly. So in this way, we are also connected to Lord. And through the parampara, we will get the knowledge. It's not a material or scientific through studies or we can get this knowledge. It is through the service attitude through our desire to get Him. Lord sees that, our sincere desire. According to that, He reveals the knowledge to the spiritual master to us. Is it clear?
But
biochemistry.
Okay.
So I see everything in this world as just the product of some chemicals, interaction of some of these chemicals are interacting each other, and the life is produced. So how we see, how you are saying that these things are controlled by God, all the things like DNA, RNA, they are multiplying, they are getting copied, and the information is flowing. This is like a genetics, heredity, it's going on, everything. So how you are saying that, that no, something is controlled by God? There is no God actually.
But can you just repeat your question, please? Slowly.
I see everything in this world as per as scientists are studying, and professors, they are writing so many research papers that nothing is that, no, it's coming by someone, some different being is controlling all these things. Only these chemicals are interacting each other. Even now in nowadays in the laboratories, they are creating even genes. And they are producing genes. They are multiplying genes. So, I don't find any controller or creator. Everything is just, no, the product of this, they are coming, it's coming by chance and it's happening. The chemicals are coming together and genes are produced and life is coming. So, where is the question of God?
But they cannot produce a soul, a life.
Soul, na? Life is coming like that. Everything is coming like that.
How?
That's what you have to say to me.
See, first thing is, but for your answer, like we have so many scientists who believe in the existence of soul and God also. You believe in the scientists who don't believe in God, right? Right, no? Actually, I don't think so. I can interact with this. Sorry.
I've come first time in this program. So you explained so many things like deity and karma theory, but I'm not able to get these things. Like, you know, what is this karma? How is it going to affect me? Like, this my life is going to be end at certain point of my life. So after that, there is nothing. So what is the question of, like, earthquake? You explained that because of the breaking of laws of nature. But somebody may have done like that. But currently, I'm living my life. It's going on. So how it is? How do I understand that something I have done, like I don't even know that I'm not this body and soul. And you explained about deities, that by serving deity we can please Lord. But what is this Lord, what is deity? It's just marvel. So I'm not able to understand these things. Can you please explain?
Yeah, the first thing is actually it was a duty of our the whole family and the generation passed, that we were supposed to follow the instruction of the God which is given in the scriptures and which we haven't given by our parents and our grandparents. So we have been misguided, and we have the free will also. Because of the free will also, we have been misguided. So we are now speculating. This is the reason we are speculating.
What
we are
speculating?
Like, see, can you like what is your question was that you don't believe, right?
Yeah. Karma, what is this deity and what is reincarnation, what do we get all afterwards?
See, karma,
what is the speculation? What we are speculating? We are just living our life.
See, in the scriptures it is written that the karma is the reason why we are here in this material world. That is the reason we are taking birth again and again. Because it's written in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that Dehino Asmin Yata Dehe Kumaram Yomanam Jara. The embodied soul passes into the body from boyhood to youth to old age, and similarly the soul passes into another body, and the sober person is not bewildered by such a change. It's the word of Lord, and we have complete faith in that. Understand? The Lord says that the soul passes in this body, and the reason the soul continuously passes in the birth and death cycle is because of the karma. And once he is free of karma, he goes back to the Lord.
What is karma?
The karma is whatever activities we do, our attachment, the activities we do without keeping the Lord in the center. So for example, whatever you have, see, you are breathing the air, you are having food, you are getting food from the ground, you are getting the earth from earth, right? The tree is coming, you are getting fruits. All of these things are created by the Lord. The only thing we are doing in our life today is just forgetting the center, who is giving everything. Because of that we are doing karma, and so that because of that karma we have to come back. For example, you may do some sinful activities. It's written in science also, every action has a reaction, right? Ohm's law, which law? Newton's law of motion. Every action has a reaction. So similarly, if you do some activity, you have to pay the price for that. You have to. So for that, if you like, you may do a good karma, you may do a bad karma. You have to come again if your karma is not complete. Understand? If you give 100 rupees donation to some person, so the person, how, like, that is your good karma. So to get the benefit of that karma, you have to come. And if you do a sinful activities, if you cheat someone, then you have to, because this life is given to do karma, and according to your karma, this life's karma, your next life is decided. This is what the scripture says. Is that clear? Little bit.
Just you told that no, we can see God, the deity form of Lord. So whole material nature is moving by under control of Lord Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So same way, one person asked me, Lord Krishna is here, the deity form of, there is no difference between deity and Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
So whole material is moving, but Lord Krishna doesn't move. So mm-hmm. how can we believe?
See, first thing is, I told you before that also, in the lecture only, that with our four defects we cannot see Lord. And second thing, what is our, like, what is the power we have? We cannot see ourself when there is no light, right? And what I mean, see, try to understand what I mean. Lord has come in the form of Archa Vigra to take service from us, so that we can render service to Him. He didn't say that I will walk and I will fly. He said, I am here to take service from you, to make you qualify to come back to me. This is what our Acharya say. Understand?
Well, there are so many religions like Christianity, Yehudis and Buddhism, and their opinions are different and they don't like each other. So
yeah.
What is it?
See, first thing is, like, the Lord comes according to the time, place and circumstance. So for example, Bhagavad Gita was spoken 5000 years ago. The Lord gives the knowledge according to the mentally, according to the situation of the person, how much he can accept. According to that he comes. For example, Bhagavad Gita was spoken in a very, very intelligent class of people, which was 5000 years ago. And the Bible was spoken 2400 years ago. And when the Jesus Christ, he never said that I am God. He himself said that I am the Son of God. And while in the last altar he said, I have lot to say, but you all are not yet qualified to accept, he said. And the Quran was spoken 1300 years ago. That was because people were having sex with anyone and everyone. So according to the situation, the Lord gives the knowledge.
You see, the fighting is going on between the Hindus and the Muslims and the Christianity.
Because they have that's what I told, because they have forgotten the center of their life.
So if this is so, like you are saying the Bhagavad Dhamma and the Bhagavad Gita has spoken 5000 years back.
Mm.
And now it's degraded, right?
Mm.
So now how can you expect that these people, the present people, will accept the Bhagavad Gita again? You are degraded much more than the Christianity or the Islam.
We are degraded, right?
Yeah, so how can I explain?
The Bhagavad Gita is not degraded. We are degraded. Right? Bhagavad Gita is not degraded. The slokas are the same. And we ISKCON people have the Bhagavad Gita.
This time also, when the Christian religion came, that was Bhagavad Gita is there pretty much.
I haven't got the situation.
ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनामे नमस्ते सरस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचार शेषः शून्यवादि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द यद्वैत गदाधा श्रीवासदि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे राम 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 हरे हरे सो सीतारामन प्रभु वर्क रियली हार्ड एंड trying to tackle the questions very sincerely. We should appreciate him for that. You all said loud Haribol, you said? So what I am going to speak now will be in twofold, two parts. One part is about the way we should speak presentations. Another part is about the unanswered part of the questions. One of the psychology that you should know while preaching to youth is that you should never force them to accept anything. Or you should never say that, for example, this is the fact, so we can conclude that God is there. We can conclude there is soul. So this proves that this is like this. So once Jayadev Swami was telling, don't say it, but show it, he said. So what is the difference between saying and showing? Saying means telling them that I have given many evidences, now you must accept that there is God. I have convinced you now you must accept. Or you must accept there is soul. Or you must accept there is law of karma. So the one of the psychologies of college youth is that as soon as you try to control them, they will become uncontrolled. We all have this tendency, rebellious tendency we call. If somebody tries to push you down, what do you do? You go down or what do you do? You go up. So when you tell a person, you had this question, this answer, keep quiet. No, I'll not keep quiet, I'll shout. Shout back like that. That is the tendency of youths. So this is youth psychology. Just as you have children psychology or woman psychology, man psychology or youth psychology also. Youth psychology is that we have to present the facts, but we should not demand surrender. We should not demand acceptance immediately. We should not demand their submissiveness from them, because we can't expect them. That is the way the youth is. You can't ask why are they like that. They are like that. That's how the psychology is created. So that is one thing with respect to all of your presentation, that you should present the facts and leave it to them. So, or you can ask a rhetoric question. You know what is a rhetoric question? Rhetoric question means you can say that, you know, you can see the right from the atomic level, you see, it's like this, and in molecular level it's like that, and in the astronomical level it's like this, and when you see all these things, what comes to your mind when you see all these things, order and design? Have you seen order and design elsewhere? When you ask a question like that, naturally they will say, yes, we see order and design in a company, in an organization. So is there any organization that is run without an organizer? Is there any design of a machine part without a designer? Is there any artistry without an artist? So this is called as a rhetoric question. So when you ask questions like that, it puts them to thinking. That means we are giving them a food for thought. You yourself think and see, you know, whether it is logical or not. And you leave it to them, and they have to decide. So in their own minds, they will decide, yes, what this fellow is saying is true. There must be something, some power, some supreme. So that makes them think, and they will admit, yes, there is some truth. They become convinced. Besides that, all of you, when you prepare presentation, you can prepare even from Discover Yourself or your best friend. It's not that you have to bring some material from some Chandraloka or Indraloka. You can present the material which is available even in these books. You all understand, no? You don't have to look for some new material somewhere. Sometimes some of the devotees are thinking that it's a presentation, you know. If I present from device, everyone knows it. And they will think I am just presenting as it is. So don't worry, you can present as it is. Even when I go for my program nowadays, whatever secret journey I am taking, I open the book and take. I read from the book and explain many times. So you don't have to feel shy that, you know, like, you know, some of the senior devotees used to ask me, Prabhuji, if I am talking from YBF qualifications of Guru, some students have already read it before. No, they already know it, you know. They will think I am not so advanced. Don't think like that. People don't see what you speak. People see your honesty. People see how sincere devotee you are. With what conviction you are presenting. What is your Dhadata in bhakti. That's what they see. That impresses them more than what you speak. So, you can prepare your material directly from the book to the degree you can understand it. If some examples are difficult, you can skip them. But whatever is easy, what I would expect is in a session like this, can a scientist believe in God or whatever? Does God exist? So, you should present about atomic level, molecular level, astronomical level. And after presenting all of that, organization implies organizer, all that. And then one very important point I would anticipate from you is that very simple school day example, which is of the machine. If you see any machine or complex part, two questions can come to your mind. What are the two questions? What is the purpose of this machine? And another one? Who created it? See, you can be a 8th standard or 10th standard boy. You need not be qualified at all. These two questions ask the whole audience will be stunned. See, when I was preparing this book, DYS, I purposefully did not bring in any complex things by preparing the book. I kept it very elementary. I wanted this book to be understandable by a 10th standard boy. You are Sankita Anbu, who can tell you. He's teaching this in 10th standard school and children are understanding everything. It's not difficult. Now somebody may say, why did you keep it elementary? I purposefully kept it elementary. Because I want to give arguments in our book which will be understandable and presentable by a 10th standard boy. 10th or 12th boy. Easily, because the presence of God is such a profound fact that even a 10th standard boy can use simple arguments to defeat. So you don't have to go for any complex argument. Simple thing. Okay, you see, you open this television, or you open this one, what do you call it? Amplifier. Take out the part inside it. Some electrical things are there. So put it in the front on the table. Now you tell me, if you see a part like this, two questions you can ask. Who created this part? And has it got any purpose or not? Have you seen a machine which has no purpose in this world? A big machine, like a bureau type of machine, Huge machine which is lying there and has no purpose. So this question, you can pull on this question for 5 minutes, nobody can answer. Their throats will be choked. They can't do anything. They can't speak anything. So, you can see Prabhupada's way of presenting philosophy. Prabhupada was actually from a chemistry background. He had a pharmaceuticals. When he went to the West, he met big scientists. Scientists can easily defeat anybody. But Prabhupada would go to the fundamental root and keep on pulling the leg. Every time he stands up and comes back, duck, pull the leg with a basic fundamental argument. He cannot stand only. Again and again, he will go and hit that point only. Is there a machine which has no purpose? Is there a machine which has come by itself? So, that kind of simple argument should be highlighted very much in the lecture. And you can take it from the book, there's no problem. You present it as it is, whatever you read. And the book may have little complex examples like some chemical. So you can leave them. You don't have to present everything. Whatever you are confident that yes, this much I can take and present, you present that much. And also while presenting, you tell me, you are quoting two examples. Now I am telling the people of the world, I am taking Yogesh Prabhu with me to the program. I tell the students, all of you students, look at this wonderful devotee Yogesh Prabhu. How wonderful is practicing Krishna consciousness. Why don't you also practice like him? I say, what do you think they will think? what do you think? No, you are seeing him. I am showing a devotee in front of you. I am putting and I am showing. First thing, what will come to their minds, people's minds? Yeah? Why we should practice? Okay. Yeah, students? Why should I follow him? Okay. What else comes to mind? I am looking for one question. That's a wonderful question, Ishan. When the students see, first thing they will say, oh, this fellow is quoting the example of a shaven head. This fellow is already wearing tilak. He is wearing something on the neck also. He is having something, like a tail behind, ponytail. And this fellow is already into their group and is quoting his example. So they consider devotees to be brainwashed people. Those are already into the movement. So if you are quoting the example of a scientist within ISKCON, then they will say that, he is already he's a sannyasi in ISKCON, guru in ISKCON, he's having tufta also, He's your man, you're quoting your man. So they will not take you seriously. Whose example you should quote? Somebody who is not into ISKCON, but who is outside. See, whenever anybody has written a book, and we say, you know, Stephen Knapp has written a book, they will ask, that Stephen Knapp, is he a devotee? You know, is he also initiated by Prabhupada? They say, yeah, he has a diksha name. Well, finished. You know, people think that means finished. That means, you know, he is Prabhupada's follower, so he has written this book to please Prabhupada. They'll say. But if you say somebody who's a hardcore like Michael Sabom, you know, from Emory University School, or Ian Stevenson, you know, from they have no connection to ISKCON, you know. Or if you take Einstein or Newton. So two things are important in this. One is they should be world renowned, like Henry David Thoreau or, you know, like Newton or Einstein and people like that. Secondly, they should not have any connection to ISKCON. We should go to such example. Then people will be convinced. So that is one very important thing when you are presenting. Don't quote devotional examples which will not which is not going to please. That's why like Rishikesh Mahapatlal, if I am quoting, so Rishikesh Mahapatlal should come in pants, shirt, and he should be, you know, not having tilak, you know. Then if he is coming to stage and people appreciate, oh, he is Rishikesh Mahapatlal and he is following this khan, I may be impressed to some extent. But if he comes very beautifully with a dhoti kurta and tilak hari bol, no, I am Mahapatlal Prabhu who has come, you know, so people will not be impressed. And especially when they see devotees, proper devotees, they think that this people are gone case, you know, they are already into, you know, they are always with God, they feel like that. So we shouldn't quote such devotional examples. Quote Einstein or Newton or Benjamin Franklin. In our first lesson, if you see the book, we have quoted simple examples. Like Benjamin Franklin says, if you think strongly enough, you will be forced by science to accept God, he says. Very powerful statement to make. Benjamin Franklin, he says, if you think strongly enough, you will be forced by science to accept God. So you can quote such simple things, which are easy to quote. I am not expecting Eugene Wigner's quote. There's a tough quote is there. But simple quotes you can memorize. You can quote. Because people are impressed with quotes. Yeah. And also, regarding details, while presenting, you have to be careful. This is going to be a problem for some of you. Because, you know, if you have been in the field of engineering or medicine, like that, if you have been studying things over and over again, you are conversant with science and engineering. So you will have a command over it and you can speak things freely. But if you are not very confident about a particular detail, then you should prefer avoiding it. So like for example, you are talking about molecular structure or something, you have to be very careful while presenting because they may ask you more questions on that theme and you may not be able to answer. For example, you know, we say graphite, you know, is also a byproduct of carbon. If you take diamond, it is a byproduct of carbon. Basic dhatu is carbon, you know. But graphite, you can break it with your hand. You know, graphite is like coal, you know. You can break it. But diamond is 10 on Mohs scale. You know, the Mohs scale is between 1 to 10. Graphite is the lowest. And diamond is the highest. And both of them are from the same dhatu, carbon. But only their atomic structure is different. So diamond is so the hardest on the scale, diamond. And graphite is the softest, if you see like that. So you can quote such examples, otherwise you shouldn't quote. In the same way, like Sitaram was quoting about some 50 grams brain, no? They call it as a grey substance, they call it. I don't know whether it is 200 grams or 50 grams, I am a little doubtful. I am also not very sure. So you have to be very sure about the amount. If you say 50 grams and one time somebody was quoting like that, and the student asked, sir, no, in the elephant's body we have more brain, in the human body there is less brain, and this animal has that much brain. He started analyzing that fellow. And that fellow was arguing that human body has 200 grams brain, he was telling. So, you have to be sure about that. One thing, if you are sure, you can say. If you know for sure, you have read it somewhere, you have seen it, then you can present. There is no problem. But otherwise, if you are a little doubtful about detail, don't present. Like he cited that, you know, Bible is 2400 years, he was telling. Actually, it is 2000 years. And 2000 years, and that he correctly said. Muslims, Islam is 1300, that he said correctly. And Buddhism is 2500 years. Yeah. Now, if he said 2400 years, people will ask you, what is this? You know, Bible is 2000 years. You know, now we are calling it as AD and BC. It is based on Bible only. Now it is 2004 going on. That means it is 2004 years before his Bible, age of Bible. So people will ask, why did you say it? You know, 2300 or 2400. Don't you know now the year is 2004 is going on? How it is 2400? They may think it's slip of the tongue or no. They may have, like one time I was speaking in IIT, so I wanted to quote this Elvis Presley's example. I don't know who is that fellow, first of all. You know, singer, is it? Anyway, I thought he's an actor. Anyway, so I was telling that, you know, Elvis Presley, you know, he was so famous in the 60s or something like that. I was telling. When was he famous? He was, you know, anybody knows? Because I heard one example from Sotra Swami, Bhakti Rasami Sotra Swami, they were telling about Elvis Presley. That, you know, Chandramali Swami was telling that Elvis Presley, you know, in those days he was moving his body like this, you know, sensuously he was moving. And that was considered sexual, you know. He was moving his, you know, hand and, you know, face like this. That was the sex that could be conceived in America in those days, you know. But now you can imagine how things have gone bad. So even some people hated that this thing. Why Elvis Presley was moving his body so sensuously like this. And they hated that, he said. So I think probably I quoted it as 40s. One boy immediately became cynical. What? Elvis was in 40s? No, he was in 70s, he was telling. Then I said, okay, 70s, he said. So, some people know more than us, these details. You understand, no, about cinema actors, actresses, you know. Like, you know, if you want to quote somebody's name, you know, once I forgot the Sarup Khan's name, I quoted Sarup Singh, you know. That is one boy, Sarup Singh in Pune. So, for example, instead of Sarup Khan, you go to Sarup Singh, who is this actor Sarup Singh, you know? And somebody suggested, is it Khan? Yes, I said, yes, it's Sarup Khan. So, we should not quote things which we know half, you know, half information. You understand? So, we have to be very clear before we want to quote such things when we are quoting. That is one thing we should take care of while speaking. And thirdly, we should not bring too devotional things while presenting to the new youths. One time, Prabhupada is speaking on God's existence. That fellow is arguing like anything. He says, no sir, I just cannot see God, I cannot believe in God. You know? Everything is going automatically in this world, and Prabhupada is like hard. He is saying, you know, how can things go automatically? Is there any machine that can work automatically? This is cosmic machine. Every machine requires an operator, and Prabhupada is like, you know, firing back. You know? And that fellow is asking. And one Mataji in between is saying, Prabhupada, you told that day about Narsingadev, you know, she's telling. He said, Prabhupada, Narsingadev is the greatest God, no? He's asking. And Prabhupada says, keep quiet. And Prabhupada saying, and the Prabhupada is continuing this thing. So he didn't like her telling about Narsingadev. Now you may say, is Narsingadev not God? Yes, he is God. But that was not the right time. So one has to present according to time, place and circumstance. Yeah. Prabhupada would only give whatever the other person can digest. So when we talk about, you know, things like, for example, we are very fortunate to have Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and the Association of Devotees and Archa Vigraha and all this. These are all very correct. But they are relevant only for devotees. They are not relevant to new people. And what will happen is, if you speak anything so devotional, you will yourself be putting yourself in a troublesome situation where so many questions will come which you will not be able to answer. Or even if you have answer for those questions, you may be able to answer, but they don't have the realization to understand your answer. That will happen. Like for example, some questions are asked about Archa Vigraha. Now Archa Vigraha. Now even if he knows the answer, if he gives those Archa Vishnu Shiladhir Guru Shinaramatir Vaishnave Jati Buddhi, no, Rupa Goswami says, you know, one should not treat Archa Vigraha as, you know, Archa Vishnu Shiladhir Vishnu. So if you said, and they will say, why should we not train? And they'll be like crows, you know, they can't understand anything. Yeah? Why can't we ask? Why should we not treat like stone? What is the problem? Because they are not swans yet, you know. If you become a swan, then your consciousness is also very subtle and you can understand. But new people, their consciousness is so low. So that is why if you bring devotional things, it's like a tortoise which is opening his head and showing, Prabhu, you know. You know, the tortoise has to show the back, isn't it? You know, because tortoise head is soft, hands are soft, you know. Soft parts don't show. Soft part can show when they become devotees. Isn't it? After they become devotees, then you can talk very subtle things, fine things. But now if you show the soft part, they will hit you there. And it is very difficult to answer. Isn't it? So we show only the hard part, whichever is. You quote Einstein, Newton, and they even we don't know, this person is quoting all Einstein, my law. See, you don't have to be a scientist yourself, but you can quote scientist names. Like you can quote Robert Jastrow says, Einstein says, Newton says. Newton's story you can tell the story, what is that? That solar system can say. And people will say, hey, I never knew the story. Newton had such a faith in God. If Newton is having faith, then I should also have faith. You know, that faith increases. So our presentation should be faith giving. It's very important. Not faith weakening. We should not cause damage to their faith, but we should increase their faith by quoting things in which they can develop faith. There is Newton. It is there in the first lesson. Watch and a seashell. Okay. I thought Newton watch. I thought speaking in Sanskrit is that. Watch example, yeah. Yeah, you can quote watch and shore also. Watch and seashore. So quote things which people can relate with. See, the expertise of a preacher is to present according to the level of the audience and convince them. So you have to, you are already flying in the sky, you have to come down to that level and be at the ground level and tell them the facts. Then they will be able to get convinced. We saw he presented very wonderfully, but when he presented the devotional things, people caught the point. The 2-3 questions were there based on that only. And in order to give answer to that, like for example, sometimes I am giving a class, like I am speaking on Krishna's supremacy I am speaking, or some topic. Sometimes I am talking on God. Once I went for this Art of Mind Control lecture in VIT college I was giving. So after the lecture was over, I didn't say anything. I just said about the mind, intelligence, ego, and then the chanting of the Mahamantra. Any questions I asked, one by. Sir, in Mahabharata, he started. He said in Mahabharata, when Krishna and Arjuna were fighting with Karna, Karna was extracting the wheel. I immediately understood what he is going to ask. Everyone knows what question he will ask. He will say that why Arjuna. Then I told him, I would like to have relevant questions to the topic first. Then we would like to take your question, I said. Immediately sat down after that. So, the beauty is, I never spoke on Mahabharata, first of all. But I am speaking on mind, but this was asking on Mahabharata. That means, they see your attire, they see your dress, and they are so envious, they want to defeat Krishna, That means they are just waiting to pull out something from your mouth and criticize you and defeat you, people. And if you yourself speak devotionally, then you will be giving them abundant opportunity to defeat you. So we have to be very careful when we present to new people, keeping things. That's why I will tell all of you, when you prepare for your lecture, preferably prepare from the book. You may not be able to present the whole chapter, present some portion of it. But learn the art of presenting it effectively, whatever is already available. Don't look for any new things here, you don't have to. So, presenting things which are little logical, reasonable and scientific, that will be more convincing to them. And also, you should always quote materialistic people. Like, what Prabhupada would do, Prabhupada will want to say something, but he will say it from the mouth of a karmi person. Like for example, Prabhupada will say, you know what Dr. Radhakrishnan said, India's former president? And everyone will hear, because India's former president, Dr. Radhakrishnan, is a very, very important person. He's a world-renowned person. He said that modern education is simply producing animals. He says that without values, the education that we give children in the schools and colleges will simply produce a royal edition of animals. That's all. So Prabhupada goes to Dr. Radhakrishnan now. Now who wants to say this now? Prabhupada wants to say this. But he's saying from whose mouth? Radhakrishnan. Why is he saying from? If Prabhupada says, I tell all of you that all your colleges and universities are producing only animals. Immediately about turn, left, right, left, they'll go away. Take an exact about turn and go away. Because if you say, they will say, you are trying to criticize modern education, so we don't want to hear from you. But when you say Dr. Radhakrishnan says, what happens? That has effect. But Prabhupada criticizes the same Radhakrishnan another place. You know that. Manmanabha Madhbhakto. But when he wants to use him in a positive way, he is using. And Prabhupada says in one place, just see this, Indians, they are just simply imitating the West. Mahatma Gandhi, he was a great celibate, Prabhupada says in one place. He was a great celibate. He always appreciated Bhagavad Gita. He was a great celibate. Because of his brahmacharya, he could control the whole India. He became father of India, he says. One place Prabhupada is speaking like that. Although he criticized Gandhi in another place. So one aspect of Gandhi he took and glorified. What he wanted to tell the students? Brahmacharya is important. Even Gandhi did it, so you have to do it. So he is doing it through Gandhi, instead of directly saying. If I say, you may not hear, but if somebody bigger person says, you will hear. That is why we should quote from the lives of great personalities and great scientists. That's why in our book we are given also all those things. And I used to tell even Chaitanya Charan Prabhu, don't go too deep. That is another bad thing that we might do. None of you would do, I believe. But if you go too much into science, some students don't know so much. If you go too deep, then they are not with you. And if you don't quote scientists, if you become too devotional, then also they are not with you. So when are they with you? Balance in between. That means you should present simple facts which are at the level of 10th, 11th, 12th standard level, which are very easy for them to understand, but which are very logical, very reasonable, and coming from the mouth of karmis who are not devotees, like that. So we have to present things like that. If you go, that is why this Darwin's theory, this YS Chebok, people get frightened when they see that. Because it is, I have prepared it from internet articles and all, so it is little difficult for common people to understand, it's little difficult. Otherwise, the DYS book is quite easy. What we are presenting is quite easy. So we should present simple logic and reason. Don't go too deep, don't be too devotional. We have to be in between, balance. So these are regarding your presentation. So how I expect all of you to present? When you give a presentation, there are 10 criteria based on which we give the presentation. Do you all know that? You are supposed to read it from youth preaching strategies. Then you will know what are those 10 criteria. When I have prepared that article very elaborately, each criteria is explained in that. So it exactly understand, like introduction. How to introduce? The introduction should be such that you have to quote something thrilling. So the audience like wakes up, Like you say, just look at the sky. There are so many stars in the night. There is sun, there is moon, there are stars, there are planets. Look at your garden. Beautiful flowers blossoming in the morning. So many varieties of colorful flowers. Have you seen African safari? See so many birds, different type of birds and different types of animals. When you see all these things, what comes to your mind? Did all these things come about by itself? Or is there any creator behind it? So this is a good beginning. So introduction should be making the people think. It could be a sort of statistics or a scientist quote or something like this that arouses a wonder in their heart. Like that you should begin. And once you begin it, so there are four steps in presentation. First is entertain, inform, touch the emotion, and call for action. Four steps. First is entertain, I said. Speaking like this is very entertaining to them. It's wonderful. What he's saying is very true. In that, you can quote the shloka from Bhagavad Gita, or you can say some statistics, or quote some scientist, or say something like this, something very thrilling in the beginning. That is actually entertain. And second part is inform. So after entertain, their hearts are open. Your question is very good question. Please tell us what you want to say, Like that, their heart will be open now. Now you, give the information. Boom. That is a good time. After, first is to open the door of their hearts. That is the reason we do kirtan also in the beginning. Like Lokanath Swami's kirtan I was telling. If you do very sweet, nice, melodious kirtans, and people become totally cool down, all their passions and ignorance is gone. And they open their heart and tell us what you want to say. They're ready to hear like that. And here is Krishna consciousness, take it. You can give it like that. Very easy. So the kirtan is very powerful also. That's why you do kirtan in the beginning. So do kirtan and also give something entertaining in the beginning so their hearts are open now. Now you give information. Now is the time. Don't give too much information. His lecture was quite brief. You all could speak up to 15 minutes maximum. So you inform, second. information they give. What kind of information? You know, without a design, there cannot be designer. Without organization, there cannot be organizer. Without lawmaker, there can be laws. That's a very powerful thing. All those things, arts and artists and everything. Support point, don't give too many points, just 3 or 4 points, information. And some examples for each of them. Like the design, just take a machine or print circuit board, it has a design. Or atom, if you can speak about atom and molecule, you can speak about atom, molecule and earth and all. At microscopy and a macroscopic level, both levels. Then organization is more easy. You can say even amongst the bees there is organization. Like the human being has organization. Behind every organizer, the whole world is so organized, you can say. So say some examples for each. Quote a concept, give examples. Quote one more concept, give examples. Third concept, examples. Fourth concept, examples. Finished. Now information is over now. So entertain, inform, and the third is touch the emotion. That is like, you know, heart to heart, you know, communication. How it is done, after saying all these things, then you are coming to that. In that first lesson, the heart-to-heart communication is from that Newton story. So after saying all these things, you can tell them, don't tell them, see, now I have proved to you, God exists, you must accept now. Not like that. But after giving these 4 evidences, you say that, see, from all these things, what do we infer? Does it not sound interesting that there is some guiding principle behind all these things? Can all these things happen by itself? What do you think? You know. So this is called as modulation. Modulation means there should be ups and downs in our speech. When you want to speak heavily about a thing, you speak it strongly and give a pause. Pause means a gap. Then it has a deeper effect. For example, when you say, is there any machine that we all have seen which has come by chance, which has no purpose? And you keep quiet for some time. And that silence you give, you know, you count some, you know, 1 to 5 or 1 to 10 in your. And that silence will have a very profound effect in them. It is called as modulation, ups and downs. Like if I ask you, it's called as monotone, we say. Play, for example, take a machine. If there is a machine created, if it is there, can you say that there is no creator behind it? At the same time, can you also say it has no purpose? In this way, you can understand God exists. And this is called as monotone, we say it. So, modulation means ups and downs according to the message that you are trying to convey. Sometimes you have to go up, sometimes you have to speak in a low voice. Sometimes there is humor. When you say humor, you also should laugh. If you don't laugh, then it won't have a... Actually, in the presentation skills, it is taught that people many times imitate the speaker. Actually, if you say, how many of you have done your homework? Please raise your hand. If you say like that, you raise the hand, then they will all raise hands. But if you don't raise hand, just how many of you have done the homework, generally they don't raise hand easily. It takes some effort for them. Same way, when you tell a joke and you laugh, and they also laugh, they think they also must be laughing because you are laughing, something humorous has happened now. So that humor, if you have any humor, that lightens up the heart, if you can quote. Some humor that lightens up the heart. So atheists may say God is nowhere, but try to look, take a second look at the same sentence. What did he say? God is nowhere. The very same sentence says God is now here, isn't it? So you can say things like that if you know, you know. So that in between, if somebody is going to sleep, they'll wake up. If anybody is little dozing, you know, they didn't get good sleep yesterday. They are losing, and everyone is laughing, and everyone is, you know, alert, then they also become alert like that. So, these things can be in inform. While informing, like if you have 6 things to inform, you know, after 3 things you see people are becoming tired, then you can sprinkle one, you know, humor or something in between. Again, they are alert. Again, you another 3 more give dose like that. And the touch the emotion is very important. The story of Newton, when you say, it has to be presented with full emotion, with full faith you have to present it. You know, you can say, let me tell you a story from the life of the great scientist Newton. You all know very well that the laws of Newton form the basis for physics. That means, you know, you are authorizing Newton as a very great person. And in his life, an incident occurred. Now, one day, one of his friends had visited Newton's house, and he saw a beautiful gyroscope, and he rotated a crankshaft, and he found that all the planets are beautifully revolving around the sun, and they were so precisely made that every planet was exactly corresponding to the planet in the original creation. The rotation was so precise. So he explained like that. And then the friend asked Newton, "Who did this? Such a wonderful mission." Newton said, "It came by chance." Then friend laughed at him and said, "What nonsense? How can such a thing come by chance? Tell me, who is the artist who made it?" And Newton said, "Why can't it come by chance? I just happened to see it in my room. It was just lying." And then friend said, No, I really want to know. I want to make one for myself. Please tell me, who designed it and who made this wonderful mechanism? It's really complex." Then Newton looked at him gravely. He said, "My dear friend, you say such a small model of the great cosmic universe cannot come by chance. Then with what logic do you say that such a great universe of such magnificence, with sun and all the planets are revolving by itself, with no one to control, does it make any sense?" So when you tell the story, you have to put your heart. That is why then it is called as touching the emotion. I mean, you conclude the story, they will all nod that, yeah, it's very, very true. He really said it well. It's really true. This Newton, and that too, this person is not saying, Newton is saying that. So it must be taken seriously. So these are all real stories. Oh, there's, you can put all the fans on. Drive out the foul air. Put all the fans on. Somebody needs churnam. Put fast. So then lastly, call for action. What is call for action? So after telling the story, you can say that, then you can come to the call for action. There you can say, that is why a real scientist is one who does not deny God but understands God and wants to glorify Him. As we discussed today in the lecture, Einstein, Newton, Benjamin Franklin, and the list goes on. There are many, many scientists worldwide who not only have accepted God from their own field of mathematics or physics or chemistry or sciences, but they have heartily glorified God. And this is the duty of a scientist. So a real scientist is one who studies the nature to understand the God's greatness and to glorify Him. So if you conclude like that, then they will understand that means, we are claiming to be scientists, so we also should glorify God. That's a call for action. And concludes that. So in our presentation, we can keep these four elements: entertain, inform, touch the emotion, and call for action. And it should be finished in 15 minutes, yeah. Yeah, they can quote, no problem. You can simply ask them, what does the scientist say? And they say somebody says that, certain scientist says, he has inaugurated. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so they quote somebody like this, and such and such person says, they say. Oh, then you can say, yes, there are some scientists who are proposing theories like Big Bang, and Darwin's theory. Whether these theories are true or not, we will see in the classes to come, But there are other bigger scientists. Einstein is number one scientist in the whole world. And we are quoting from Einstein, isn't it? See, it's like, Einstein is such an outstanding authority for us, In his time, he was considered the world's best scientist. There's nobody above him. That is why we have to quote. It's very important. Watts, Einstein, Newton, Benjamin Franklin, these are all like outstanding scientists. And we can say, yes, there may be some scientists who don't agree. Yes, you can also say that, yes, it's possible. There are some scientists who agree, some they don't agree. But we, if we take a closer look in both, logic and reason tells us that these scientists, what they say, what Einstein says, Newton says, is more logical than what else. And we are given logic also in order, design, organization, and everything we are given. That's true. But that part is little difficult. That tossing the coin thing, no? That part also, yeah. That also you can say, yeah, that's true. Yes. You can easily defeat. But some people may be very learned in Big Bang and they may ask more questions about Big Bang and Big Crunch and, you know, red shift and blue shift. They may ask questions. So if they go deeper, you can always postpone like that. One thing is, one very important thing is, in your presentation or question answers, don't allow negative vibration to grow in size. For example, if somebody is producing a positive vibration, you encourage him to speak more. For example, one student is saying, sir, this, like sometimes you ask any questions, you ask one boy is saying, sir, I have no questions, but I have a comment. What's your comment? So that point you said about design, you know, that was really a good point. I have never heard it ever before. Then you give him the mic, yes, sir, tell more. How are you convinced, you know, encourage him. And then he will tell more. Like, you know, he will say, I have seen design of TV, I have seen design of radio, I have seen this, and behind all the design there is somebody. Similarly, just see, you know, there is photosynthesis happening in the plants, you know, and there is, life forms, how we have all the living beings are supplied. Sometimes boys speak very nicely. And by hearing from him, all the other boys will also say, it's not the Brahmachari saying, some other student is saying. And in another place you find a negative vibration coming. Like somebody is very skeptical. He is saying, and after hearing all these things, it seems that what you are saying is against the scientists. Scientists say that everything came from a Big Bang. I have never heard any scientist talking about God. And here you are saying there is a God, there is a creator. These are all just new theories. Religionists are trying to use science to, you know, to bring God into picture. Somebody may argue like that. That means a negative vibration. So don't allow him to develop much. If a person keeps talking, you put a sudden break in between. Prabhupada used to barge in. You know barging in? Like, you know, somebody keeps talking. Prabhupada, if you read Prabhupada's conversation, you will find the questions are very small, but answers are very big. Not just big, very big. That means the other person, he can only ask one small question for which Prabhupada will give a big answer. You know? Generally, this Prabhupada said he will barge in before that person goes too much in the wrong direction. You know, you will never find Prabhupada, you know, very submissively hearing us, go on, keep telling nonsense, and all people are hearing nonsense. Yeah, he tells a small question, and that is enough to create negative vibration. You create a positive vibration because you have to defeat that thou shalt not kill Prabhupada will catch. You have seen that in his argument. Again and again, he will put that. It's like a kuladi, you know. Put it, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not kill. Put it again and again. Yeah. So we also have to use arguments and not allow negative vibration to spread too much. Sometimes what happens, a person asks a negative question and in order to substantiate it, he goes on adding evidences to that and becoming more and more specific. So then the whole audience becomes covered over by negative vibration. We should not allow that. No, you should say that, let me answer the first question he asked, and then I will take further questions. He think in a person. That's also good, yeah. Only audience may think, why personally, why not in front of us? Maybe he is little afraid, you know, they will think like that. Sometimes you have to give an answer, and then say, for further questions, you can meet me personally. Like sometimes, you know, one boy is too much dominating, jumping up and raising the hand always. You will see that. Sometimes asking too many questions like that. Then, and also if he is a negative vibration creator, then what you do, one question you answer, other times you just ignore him. You always encourage people to ask good questions. And then that person who was jumping up and down, he becomes a little upset with you. And then feed him some prasad afterwards. Sit with him and say, now you ask questions and nobody is there. And if I can't answer the question, I'll note down, I'll ask the seniors and come back. You can do like that. But you should not spread the negative vibration too much. Otherwise, what happens, the good effect that you created in the class, that's all nullified and people go back completely drained. That last one question he asked, no? Now totally people are gone. Now we are finished now. All the faith that you developed in them, that one fellow comes and destroys all the faith. Yeah. he is saying, if you are barging in between, will it not happen that we are not hearing that person, audience, clearly? Actually, we should hear him clearly in the beginning. Sometimes as a speaker, you can easily smell what he wants to ask even before he completes the questions. It's very easy. If you are a good preacher, the beginning only when he is asking question, you can know where is, in what direction that fellow is going. So he asks one question, two questions. He wants to ask five questions. So by the time he finishes second question, he can say, that was a really a brilliant question, you know. You can barge in like that. What was it? That was really a brilliant question you asked. So by barging in like this, he is encouraged also, that you know, you are not telling him, hey, stop now, don't ask anymore, I will finish your answer to first two and then you can ask. That will be a little offensive. He will feel that, you know, why this person is, you know, treating me harshly. But if you barge in and say, that was really a brilliant question, that is encouraging to him, at the same time you have barged in. And then he is not able to speak much. And then you can tell him that, you know, let me answer these two questions first. Because like I said, now one time in Chinchwad station I was sitting, one fellow came to me and he was like, you know, his lips were quivering and hand was shivering and all. You are from ISKCON, no? He was asking. I said, yeah, ISKCON. Come here, sit in. He was telling. Then I sat by his side. I have many questions from Mahabharat, you know, he was telling. You know. I said, okay, tell the questions. Then he closed his eyes and 25 questions he asked. You know. My Lord, I could not even remember all of them. You know. And then after that, I said, okay, first question he asked about Karna, you know, I remember that, so I'll begin from there. And looked at his watch and said, I have no time, he said. Then he went away. Yeah. So there are people like that. So they just want to show off. They come to program simply to show off that they are very great people. And we don't want to encourage such people. So when, as soon as you ask one or two questions, you can smell them. You barge in by giving appreciation, word of appreciation, and answer those questions. And then when somebody else has a question, then you can go to them by ignoring this person. And then if you keep saying, sir, I have a question, if he shouts and all, like, you know, the Shikhar who came here? Shikhar. So this fellow was so dominating in BHU, yeah, when he was speaking this proactive leadership seminar, you know. Even during my lecture, every two sentences he will raise his hand. Then I told him, I asked him, what's your name? I asked him. He said, my name is Shikhar. So Shikhar, I would request you that you reserve your questions for the end of the program, I said. After that, he kept quiet. Because I politely told him, please reserve your questions for the end of the program. Then he sat. Then as soon as I finished, he was so restless, he almost was standing on the bench, you know. Sir, I have a question, you know. Like that. You know, then I entertained one, two, three questions I took. And then when he was again raising hand for the fourth question, then I said, see, Shikhar, don't you want to give opportunity to your friends? See, so many other friends are raising hand. Then he, okay. Sad, you know. Then others are allowed. You know. Then after some time, again I gave him opportunity. So some people are like that. One thing is, you should never offend them. If you offend them, finished. They can become an anti-ISKCON element and they can do more damage to your program than anybody else. If your ego is hurt, if you become offended, finished. That's all. Then they'll become your sworn enemy. Then they'll go and tell bad about ISKCON everywhere to everyone. And they'll tell the boys that they don't come next week. These people are bad. Just see how they offended me. You know? See, they offend all the students like this only. So let's all go back. Let's boycott this program. Let's close down this program. They'll start speaking like that. We have to be very careful. We have to respect them. Even if they are offensive, we have to respect them. Very important. So these are with respect to speaking. And with respect to some of the questions they asked, certainly they were out of syllabus. Questions that were asked to Sitaram Prabhu, unbefitting questions. But they were asked because he spoke spiritual things, which gave rise to such questions. Like for example, one question was about the deity. You see, many people have become Mayavadis in India, like one Khairnar in Maharashtra, and also there was one Dayananda Saraswati, I think, Swami Dayanand. So Swami Dayanand saw that in the altar he found a rat, you know, going, when Chuha was going and, you know, moving about here and there. So at the feet of the deity he saw a Chuha. So he saw that, what is this? Rat is going, you know, on the leg of the deity, and the deity is not doing any response. So he says, you know, in his biography, so then he thought that, you know, the deity is lifeless, and that's how the Arya Samaj was started. You know Arya Samaj is? Rajaram, Mohan Rai, people like that, just started. So according to them, you know, they think that, you know, they are iconoclasts, they don't want deity, God is formless, and all that. So there are a class of people like that. So even after knowing these things, how does a devotee have still faith in the deity, that the deity is non-different from the Lord? That is why one needs to know the science of God. If you know the science of God, as Prabhupada explains, a deity is made up of material elements only. Ashtadhatu, you know that. Like the stone, or wood, or mind, mud and different things like that. Brass, metal and all that. So it can be made, Lord clearly says that. You make my form with one of those things. Like Narada Muni told Dhruva Maharaj that you make with mud. You are in the forest, you make with mud a deity of Krishna. But the Lord says, if you make a deity according to the Shastric description, the same way as they look in the spiritual world. Whatever way Krishna looks in the spiritual world, we make the deity here. But with what? With material elements. Why we make with material elements? Because with material eyes, we can see the material elements very easily. So Lord says, you make it with the material elements. But if you do prana pratishta for such a deity, advanced devotee comes and he invites the Lord to come and appear. Then the Lord says, then I will appear as the deity. Pashyanti teme rucharanya. The Lord says that they look at me and offer prayers to me. I bless them. And I also accept the bhoga that they give. And I convert it into prasadam. And they can accept prasad. They can circumambulate me. They can bathe me. And they can do all that. Now, for a devotee who sees the Lord as a deity with the eyes of faith, with such a person, Lord will reciprocate. He made that point clearly in his answer. And for a person who sees the Lord as stone, he will look as a stone only. As this verse says, Natha Sri Krishna Amadi, Nabhaved Grahyam Indriya. He will look as stone only. Because Lord says that here is material energy, here is spiritual energy. Lord is the source of both energies. See, even this comes from Krishna. So if Krishna wants to come from here, this pillar, he can come. He can break open this and come just like he came as Narasimhadev. So Lord can manifest through matter also. It's possible for him if he wants to manifest. Just like he was having a Shaligram Shila, no? Gopalapada Goswami. From that, Lord appeared in a beautiful Radharaman form. Nowadays they address the Radharaman form in Vrindavan. The deity appeared because of the intense desire of Gopalapada Goswami to serve the Lord with some deity form. You know? So from that stone, the Lord appeared like that. But on the other hand, as far as the deity is, like Muslims are stealing the deity, Muslims are desecrating the deity. Actually, there are vicious people who are nefarious in their activities, and such people are going to do atrocious activities. You will see, like killing the cow, or aborting the children, raping chaste women belonging to Hindu families. Many Muslims did that, killing cows by organ slaughterhouses. And one such similar activity is also desecrating the deity, or stealing the deity from the temple, or breaking the deity, as they have done. So these are all called as very, very deadly acts for which not in the next lifetime, in the very same lifetime, people have suffered terribly. Some of the Muslim kings who did such things, many of them got Kushtarog. They died with Kushtarog. Some of them died with sexual diseases. Many, many people have suffered terribly. There are histories you have to read about how the kings. Like, you know, one Muslim girl, she came to the Jagannath temple, that's the past time. She showed the leg to the Jagannath deity like this. And the pujari said, hey, you should not show the leg to deity like this. She said, what will happen? Nothing will happen. And when she went back home, she found she got a big disease in the leg. Both the legs had to be cut off. Like that. So if somebody does this to deity, apparently the deity may be broken or the deity may be stolen. But the effect is deadly. Not for one person, for the entire race. If you see, the Muslims ruled India for 700 years. Almost 700 years they were there, and British were ruling for 200 years. In the 700 years, whatever atrocities Muslims did, further they also got retaliation from the Hindus. It's not that they didn't get. As much as Hindus were tortured, there was also, like you hear about this Ram Janmabhoomi thing, it's back and forth. It's not one way. So many of them, those who did these things to the Lord or the cow or the Brahmanas, they got retaliation. Many people's head was chopped off. Many people's head was lopped off. Many, many Muslim kings like that. If you read the Rajput stories, you'll come to know how the Rajputs tricked the Muslims and how they killed many, many Muslim kings and all like that. How Shivaji Maharaj was so intelligent, if you see. you will read a lot of things like that. It's back and forth. It's not only one way. Atrocious people, it is said those who follow the laws of God, they will always flourish and Lord will always protect them. Those who don't follow, they will also suffer. At a due time, Lord will give them suffering like that. And the deity will behave as a stone with those who don't see him as deity at all. See, what is deity? Deity is made up of material element, but Lord can spiritualize it for one who sees it with the eye of faith. That's it. If you see Radha Kunjibihari with the eye of faith, then the Lord will actually show you his Brajendranandan form, beautiful form of Lord Krishna to you, and he will reciprocate with you. If you see him as stone, then he will reciprocate with you as stone. Yes, that will happen. And also we understand Lord has a spiritual form in the spiritual world. Goloka Nivasati Akhilatma Bhutam. In this world also he expands as one of the forms, which is Archa form. Like that we understand. So devotees see that Lord can spiritualize matter. That's what he does with respect to deity. And people have benefited. Actually, we can go on telling so many things about the deity. It's a very vivid subject. But at least this much can be said if people ask questions. Again, the point is whether they can understand it. So that is why I was saying that we should avoid speaking too many spiritual things. Postbox, yeah. Authorized postbox. Prabhupada gives that example in Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam. Deity is like authorized postbox. You put there, then if you serve this deity, then Lord in the spiritual world is accepting your worship there. And then he will send the mercy through this deity form. Actually, he tried his best to explain very nicely over Sitaram Prabhu. Most of the explanation he gave was very reasonable and logical. So, you know, he asked this question about we are limited. Satish asked this question. God is unlimited. How can we understand him? There is one very simple answer to this, straightforward answer to this question. Who knows it? Yeah. Example for this? Practical example? Yeah. Lord gave him the vision to see, okay? When sun comes. What is the example, Prime Minister? Yeah, see, if you want to see Prime Minister, you cannot see. But Prime Minister wants to see you, then you can see, isn't it? So, of course, we have no power to understand the unlimited, but if the unlimited decides to give us some power to understand him, then he can give that power. He has that power, otherwise how is he God? He can empower the limited to get that power. It's a very simple answer, which Prabhupada gives. Guru, then you can see, yeah. Actually, your answer is a good answer, but it's a spiritual answer, yeah. It's a very spiritual answer. See, for a common student, you know, it's a very far-fetched thing. You'll say, what is this, you know, surrendering to Guru and all you are saying? It's too much for them. Yeah. They want something very logical and, you know. Prime's example is the Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada gives that. See, don't think Prabhupada gives spiritual things. Prabhupada gives very logical things. In fact, Prabhupada's speeches are all full of logic. You read this, life comes from life. Full of logic, and even SSR also. Such reasons Prabhupada gives. Strong, very solid. Punch on the nose he gives. Very, very strong. That was a good question, yeah. So, how would you answer the question? Somebody has an answer to that? Where is the mic? Yeah. Where is another mic? Only one you have? Okay, take this.
So actually, if we see these uncontrolled things, actually they are also not uncontrolled things. And if you see their physical nature, geographical nature, they are also. If we go in the details of it, we will find that they are also happening by the laws of nature only. They are not uncontrolled things actually. So in that way, we can answer them. So these are also there are some laws which are guiding these things. Why these earthquakes are coming? There are some movements taking place in the earth crust and all these things. They say, scientists say, that this is one of the reason for that. So that means these are not happening by some chance theories. So there is some reason behind that. So we can say that ultimately the reason, law means lawmaker comes in the picture. So So in that way also we can say the senses.
See, according to scientists, the volcanoes, sorry, not the volcanoes, earthquakes are coming because of the movement of the trains. The train, we make these railway lines, no? All over the globe, surface of the globe. And because the trains move very fast, it creates a stress on earth, you know. And that's one reason. And as the stress keeps on increasing, building up more and more on earth, at one time it leads to earthquake. And that's one of the theories which says that. Similarly, volcano, they have a reason which they say that, you know, at the time of, you know, when the universe was created, they say the central core was very hot, you know, and gradually the outside portion was cooling, you know. So the inside lava is there in the earth, you know, and it's just boiling inside, and it is looking for some weaker portions of earth, you know. And there are huge mountains who the central portion of the mountain is a weak portion, so they just like that, you know, they come out of that. So we can say these are the external reasons for the volcano or typhoons, you know. Somebody, for example, how did this big cyclone came? So they say, no, it originated in Indian Ocean, and then it whirled and whirled and whirled and whirled, zoom, 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 it just zooms, and then it becomes very strong current, rising huge tides, 100 feet, 200 feet high, you know, like that, and then the wind comes and knocks off thousands of homes and killing people, and then going from south to north, like that, no? And sweeps away so many houses and people like that. So they are, now they say it originated in Indian Ocean. Now we can ask, why did it originate? So immediate causes, it originated in Indian Ocean, it rotated like this, or volcanoes coming like this, you know, and the earthquake is happening like this. So we can say for everything there is an immediate cause and there is an ulterior cause. Yeah. So we can say when man does not live in harmony with God, then the And man does not live in harmony with nature and with God. Then naturally the nature will throw thunderbolts at him. You can see that. So we can give many examples of how the man is not cooperating with nature and not cooperating with God. So when you break the laws of nature and laws of God, natural reaction will come. Easy example you can give. Like if you smoke a cigarette, you get cancer. You know, if you drink liquor, you get liver problem, you know. Like that, you know, simple problem. If you want to have illicit sex with many women, then you get AIDS. So nature immediately gives a kick. So I used to, in my very first lecture, I used to give him Durga Devi's example, without any fear. Because Durga Devi holds this trident, you know, Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhidevika. I used to say that. Very first, and people accepted when I said that. Yeah, it's true, what you're saying is true. Because when we don't follow the laws of nature and laws of God, it reflects back. I used to tell them, even in your body, there is a nature. You have to follow. For example, if you eat things which you cannot digest, the next day you suffer, isn't it? You have a serious problem in the stomach, digestion problem, because body immediately reacts. So in that way, if you present, it is not so offensive. But if you bring in karma theory, for example, karma, when we tell these people are all suffering due to volcano or earthquake because they have done bad karma, now God is killing them, you know, that becomes a little more cruel for them. They think that you are an insensitive man, you know? You don't have any sensitivity, your heart is very hard, you know. You people are godly people. You are saying that dead people suffer due to karma. You know, you don't have any heart. You don't have any sensitivity. People feel like that. So you can say that, you know, man is breaking the laws of nature. And you can just see the pollution in the city. How, you know, we only created the city and how we are suffering because of creating artificial civilization. You know? Of course, that is too big to introduce in the beginning. But you can say simple examples to say that. As he made the point, it's very important to say, nothing happens by chance, everything happens by some mechanism. As Newton's third law says, you know, for every action, you tell them simple example. You give a slap, you get a slap. Easy example to understand. You give a pinch, you get a pinch. Similarly, everything that happens has a prior cause. Without cause, nothing happens like that. I used to give them examples. Like somebody says, you know, how do I know that the sufferings are coming now from previous life? I have not even seen. You know? Like, you know, if you slap, you get a slap, instant karma. And if you eat heavy to digest food today, and tomorrow you will suffer, isn't it? Or if a bacteria bites you now, 1 week later you get viral, no, fever like that. If you don't study well, at the end of the semester you will suffer. If you are earning money well, you don't save money now, when you are in retirement, at that time, you will suffer because that time no money will be there for you. Similarly, now what are the examples telling you? Somebody? Yeah? Yeah. results will come. But what am I trying to say by giving these many examples? Yeah, time duration. That's the point. That means one example I gave in the beginning, which is coming immediately, immediately. Another example is I'm doing today, tomorrow, little longer duration. Another is 1 week. Another is 6 months. Another is next year. Another is after retirement, 60 years. And then in this way, some of the actions you do now, the reactions are postponed to next life. That's what you are saying. That is the meaning of karma phala. Either you can, then they understand. It's very logical. Simply understand. That's why sometimes people suffer. They don't know why they are suffering. But it's coming from the previous life. That means, Prabhupada explains, that if the body changes before the resultant reactions are given to you, if the body changes, then what happens? Then the new body that you have, in that the reactions are given. What to do? Because already you have changed the body. So, in case the karma questions come, you know, answer like that. And last question about this world is a chemical interaction. This is one class of people who will argue with you. World is simply a conglomeration of atoms and molecules, and it's all chemical interaction. Everything is happening automatically. So why do you bring in God? Who has the answer for this? Yeah.
Actually, of course it is made up of chemicals, but who has made the chemicals? You can ask me. Nothing is happening automatically here. Everything has a cause. So let's give example like this board is here. So someone has kept it here. It's not like that.
Whenever you are giving example for automatic thing, then you should give proper example. Proper says, just look at this aeroplane. It is standing in one place. But if it is going from one state to another state, of stagnation to flying, that means there is interaction of some spirit soul. Like one pilot is walking, he is climbing in the aeroplane, then the aeroplane flies. Otherwise the aeroplane will stand in that place for millions of years and nothing will happen, he says. That means the machine cannot function without an operator. In the same way, Prabhupada says, this cosmic machine is functioning apparently automatically, but no machine, even an automatic machine cannot be automatic without an operator to put on the switch. Like that. So we should give such an example. And then the discussion will become more simpler. That means make a tough question little simple and then bring them to your zone where you can easily answer them. You know, see, this is one trick of a preacher, what you should do. See, all of us, we are not very conversant with all fields. You know? Our knowledge is limited. You know some fields, something. Like somebody is asking on quantum mechanics or something like that. No? Some people ask tough questions. So what you do, you simplify that and bring him, pull him to your own zone. That is the tact in talking. Then what happens in the tact in talking? When they come to your zone, it becomes easy for you to defeat them. Just like, you know, if you bring them to your own pitch, like the cricket match also, Pakistan-India, if it is played in India, we have advantage. Right? If it is played in Pakistan, they have advantage, isn't it? So, in the same way, the preacher should always intelligently try to bring the audience to his own zone, areas where he can answer questions. I will show you example when I do it in one of the future classes. Now it's the high time now. It'll go for Prasad. But still I was very surprised over Sitaram Prabhu. With he never went for even graduation or higher studies and all, isn't it? He's a very young devotee. And he came to ISKCON and he got introduced. Now, with this kind of level to present a topic like this is almost unimaginable. You know? He tried his best. But I would request Sitaram Prabhu to prepare from the available material more in future whenever you give for any DIY session or anything. Pull out the simple things which are understandable to you and others. You can give like that. That was very nice. But his flow was very good. I liked the clarity of speech and the clear-cut voice. Every word he spoke was understandable. And he was very polite. Humility thread also, he gets very good marks. He didn't, he didn't become upset or emotionally hurt. He didn't shout back, as some people might do. This is first presentation, yeah. Let us give him a loud Haribol. Haribol!